On this episode of Cubs Out Loud, we hang out live with Hadrian and talk about the ass-munching, butt-licking power of ribbing. From top to bottom, we discuss the ins and outs of analogous, what we like, what we don't like, and what we don't want to happen ever. So pop into YouTube and get ready for the oral discussion. COL 259 starts now.
The podcast of Intermittent Length, episode number 259 in the video episode, so we're going to be like spamming some links here.
We're live! Woohoo! Come join us!
Link. Alright, so link one has been sent off to the Cubs Out Loud Google Plus page, going over to Facebook here. Because we want you guys to enjoy it. We don't want to just do this show itself. We want you guys to join. Here's the link for the comments of this one.
And yay.
Join us. Post. Alright. So... welcome to Cubs Out Loud, the Bear Pack. You guys have been enjoying, like, the way I said that already. We're all trying to get set up and make sure that everybody's out and there and can join us for our little conversation. Let's talk about sex. Oops, forgot to put up the sound effects already. So we're talking about sex here with one of our favorite people to talk about sex with, Hadrian Michael McQuaig.
Hello. I am certainly happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Pardon the technical difficulties. Also, of course, we have Gary and Damon with us.
Hello.
Hello.
And hopefully this video doesn't look like crap because something's going on. It's not looking right. So I would apologize if there's any technical difficulties. I blame Google. What time warner cable? 1 and 2. In any case, I do want to first bring something up here because I've been forgetful, and I apologize. I would like to actually apologize to my friend Tony Banks. Everybody knows him as one of the editors, producers, something over on at Bear Films, and he was the one who did the "Here Comes Santa Claus" song for our Christmas special. Oh, he says Tony Banks here. Just doing what I can to give back. I fire for the topic. Was reunited when I read this on Facebook. He gives a link about an article. And he wants to let everybody know that he wanted to get off his ass and help about gays who are being like kicked out of houses and becoming basically homeless. So he created a t-shirt called Cub Love. And we'll have a link on the website for where to find that. And so to help donate to help people who are gay and homeless because they got kicked out of the house or something. I wanted to give that up.
Very cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, also, did see that there are 4 people who wanted to join the Bear Underground group. And I got them in. That is Big Wheels 1971 Gamer Bro Hawaiian, all in capital. So it's probably Hawaiian! and Pulaski Bear. So somebody who liked the Doctor from the second season of Star Trek The Next Generation. All right. So that's my little points that I need to take care of at the beginning of the show. But let's talk about sex. Specifically, something that I had practice with yesterday. Rimming. So we're going from, we went from the front side the last time we did one. And now we're moving over to the back side. But still kind of that same idea. Form.
Okay. I'm liking your hand gestures.
You have to mind this sometimes to get the point across. Yeah, I like that.
Alrighty.
I have a little wine.
No. And that answers every question.
So Remy, let's start off with this. Preferences. Do you like to be rimmed, rim, not rim, something like that. Preferences. I'll start off since I had practice yesterday. Rimming, to actually do the rimming, it really depends. Most of the time, especially if I'm really turned on, I'm going to be diving right in there. I also absolutely love to be rimmed.
Huh.
That's my preferences. Anybody else want to volunteer to be next?
I guess I'll be next, because it'll...
We'll start with Damon. Well, this is start from left to right from where I'm sitting here.
Okay. Yes. It's basically the answer. I love to be rimmed. I love to rim. It will depend on the situation, but if I am in a situation where it can happen with someone, oh, I'm going to do it. Because it's really good foreplay for me. So, yeah. Gary?
I absolutely enjoy being on the receiving end. I do not necessarily mind, but I don't find necessarily that tops, because I am a bottom, that tops necessarily enjoy being rimmed. And I'm not saying this is universal. I'm just saying in my experience that some tops really, they, I think psychologically, think that like the front of the body is like the top thing, and like the back of the body is the bottom thing. So ass play and rimming, fingering, anything to do with that, like some guys are like, that's a no-go zone.
Which, we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, which I think is very foolish, but. And of course, Hadrian. Our illustrious guest, Mr. Hadrian.
I'm not fond of it. Which will be surprising to a lot of folks.
Oh, gosh.
That's why I wanted to do this one, because I kind of figured, like, last episode we had kind of the naysayer about blowjobs. I'm kind of the naysayer about butt munching.
Oh, my.
Oh.
It is not my go-to. It is not something I put on profiles. It is not something I just volunteer for at all. I do it. It is not my favorite thing to do. And I'm okay with it being done to me, and I'm okay with doing it to others sometimes. And, of course, I've done it on film because there's money involved. I'll go ahead and quote Andrew Dice Clay, and he made this joke back in the 80s and said, eating ass is an art form, and the first thing you have to do is take your partner and sit them on a fire hydrant for about 3 hours.
Oh my.
And let me go and be the first one to drop it as well. I am scared to death of poop being anywhere near that zone. And that's why I'm so sparing with eating ass, because I know one bad experience is all it's going to take to completely ruin me on it for life. So very rarely, I have to know the person, I have to know their cleaning habits, and I'll take them to the bath and wash them myself. But I do it with Bailey quite a bit. I love eating his ass because I know he cleans well, and I know I don't have anything to worry about. But if it's just any random hookup or even somebody I've known for like 6 months, it is not something I'm just going to just say, hey, roll over, let me do that.
Right. So I really think that remains that is a little bit more special. I mean, the one thing that I like about being able to do it is especially, before my face gets there, my hand is there.
The sniff test.
I wouldn't necessarily say sniff test. It's more a feel test, because I have been known to figure out my bottoms before I fuck them. So I get in there, and if I feel something that really shouldn't be there, or, well, should be there, but, you know, at this point in time, really probably should not be there right now, then I'm probably not going to go down there. Remains. So this, and I will say, on the opposite side of things, before I have sex with anybody, before even if I know their habits of what they want to do to me, whether they're into rimming or going to rim at all, I do make sure I am clean down there.
Yes.
I love to be rimmed, and I want them to be okay with rimming me. I don't expect them to shove their tongue way in there or anything, but, you know, just a little surface, but everything. But, you know, want to be a little bit clean down there.
Oh, God.
It's just nice. Because it feels good just to be clean down there. Anyways.
My thought pattern is once you get a finger in there, I mean, once there's any version of penetration at all with that area, analingus is off the table. I mean, that's why my particular rule of thumb is that once there's any kind of penetration, if your dick has been in there, if my dick's been in there, you're not going down on me. If my finger's been in there, then I'm not going down there. I mean, once there's been some sort of breach of the orifice, then there's no more ass eating at all. It's foreplay before ass eating because, you know, spit makes great lube. But, yeah, that's my I do kind of the sniff test, and I observe heavily. I've had people like, what are you studying it? Because I'm, like, looking, and I'm like, is that a mole, or...
Oh, my.
No, that's totally understandable, but, I suppose I'm a little bit more loose when it comes to rimming, but I'm also cautious. And I if that ass looks nasty, sure, I might stick my dick in it, but I'm probably not diving in.
Nope.
So I'm curious about something, Hadrian. Given your background doing adult film, I think there's a tendency in film, like porn, to show a sequence of events other than what you prefer, because it sounds like you think of analingus or rimming or eating ass as like foreplay before actual fucking, where in porn I find, because there's been a lot of prep prior to filming, that it's just back and forth and all over the place. Like, you know, whether the ass gets eaten now, in the middle, at the end, it doesn't seem to matter. Do you think that that can be confusing to a viewer? Like, any safety issues or that kind of stuff? And I bring it up because I think so. Like, I think you bring up an excellent point about, for you, it's like, no, this happens at this time and only at this time, where I think people know no better because they haven't been educated. So they think that that's going to give them some understanding of how to do it or when to do it.
Well, as far as the sequence of events, when I've been in videos, it's always been, you know, oral comes, you know, you're jerking off, you're oral, you're fucking, and then you do the money shot. And that's the order of things. And I've been in videos where they cut it up some and even put ass eating after the fucking, which is weird. And not in the bare films, this was some older stuff I did. And that actually made me a little upset. I'm like, you know what, I don't want people to think I do ass to mouth. Pull someone's dick out of someone's ass and put it in my mouth. I don't want anyone to ever think I'd do that. And that kind of made me a little upset about that particular producer. But, yeah, I can see where people could see that kind of scene, or even where there are scenes where they do direct ass to mouth, that sort of thing. And it can be very confusing for the viewer to not know that, oh, they're doing it, and they're professionals. It must be okay for me to do it. I mean, us as you know, older adults, we might think so, but I always think of the primary watchers of porn are 15 to 20-year-olds. They are the huge, you know, absorbers of porn, and they don't know any better. They expect what they see on the internet and on video to be an example of what to do, and I don't think there's enough safety training in porn to convey the right message about the risks of analingus.
Well, that sounds like a new project business idea.
You can figure out how to make money off of it. You can probably get a Nobel Peace Prize. That's the hard part.
We must enhance the sex education of this country by including analingus.
I'm thinking that would be a great, like, you know, adult film subset. I imagine there's a limited audience, but I agree with you. I think that would be amazing to see educational videos about what these things are and how to do them, and maybe kind of a behind-the-scenes aspect of, like, hey, in case you didn't know, when you're watching the film, like, this person douched three times, took a 10, 15-minute hot shower, sat in a salt bath, whatever, you know, the thing is, to, like, get ready for this scene, because when you hook up with, you know, someone at the bookstore, that's not likely to have happened right beforehand, so keep that stuff in mind. Interesting.
Yeah.
Like I imagine like a sex pop-up video. Like people are just like, make sure you clean.
I love that idea. That might be a boner killer for some people to be like, oh yeah. What?
Did you know this asshole?
Wait, I didn't read that last one. What did it say?
Yeah, I know. Rewind 15 seconds.
It'd be like DVD extras. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, that's what we'd have on the DVD, is have the extra check or pop-up video or something like that. And like, you know, that would actually partially solve the magic condom problem.
Oh.
Because it's like, boop, yes, he does have a condom on.
I agree. That'd be awesome.
Go to the extra features to see how hot it is to put a condom on or something like that. To
really? I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the scene of him putting the condom on.
Yes.
Interesting. I think we got a whole new idea to sell.
So but, no, but then, you know, something you never see in porn, even you know, like the hardcore dykey lesbian porn, you don't see dental dams. I mean, dental dams is not porn at all. It's just condoms. And dental dams are the only thing you can use for eating ass.
Well, you know, Hadrian, I've never seen a hardcore dyke video.
No? They are out there.
Neither have I.
Yeah. You know. I don't want to see a hardcore tank video.
Well, I'm sure they don't want to see big feet. Actually, I know a lot of lesbians who watch bear porn specifically. That's wrong. But no, but in any porn, you don't see, I mean, people go down and lick ass. I mean, it's just dive in, and there's no safety involved at all, even though it's one of the riskier parts of the body. But there's no dental dam or anything being put up at all, which would look awkward, but it's just not there.
Well, and you bring up a really good point, Hadrian, because the event that I put on, we get safe sex supplies supplied actually by about three different entities locally, the health department and some educational services, and invariably they always include a variety of items, not just condoms, not just lube, but we get dental dams and female condoms. And every year I have to educate one or two, probably the newest members of the committee, because when we sort through the items, they're like... Why do we have dental dams? Because their first thought is, we're not lesbians. And I have to explain to them, well, you can use this when you're, you know, rimming somebody or having anal sex if you have a concern about the individual. Hence, they're flavored. Like, you know, and don't confuse it with your roll-up.
Yes, roll-up. Nice.
And then I had to explain about the female condom, because they actually were like, why are they giving us female condoms? Now, this year was awesome, because I think it was the DOH actually included a small instructional sheet that literally said how you can use it for bottoming and anal sex.
It's fantastic.
And,
I wish they'd remarket them and call them bottom condoms.
Hmm.
There you go.
They would just put that brand on there, people would know exactly what it's for immediately. And I've used them before. It's like fucking bear. They are amazing condoms.
Well, I'm going to have to remember that.
Yeah, I know. Gary's making notes.
They are expensive as fuck. They're like $3 or $4 a piece, but they're great.
Oh, for one condom?
Yeah, they're expensive.
Yeah. But in essence, if you think about it, I don't know how practical this is. Hadrian, you might be able to speak to this. I realize we're getting off of rimming, but can a person insert one as a bottom and use it repeatedly? And by repeatedly, I don't mean excessively, but like for several interactions. I don't know what to say.
Latex won't survive exposure that long. The latex breaks down, even though they're kind of polyurethane-ish a bit. I wouldn't try it. So I don't think that's a good. You probably could take 4 or 5 guys in a row in one sitting.
Okay.
You know, for that extra squishy feeling down there.
Get that train going.
But you can't take it out. Hang it up on the laundry line.
No. That's not what I meant. I was thinking if someone was like being a bottom whore and went to the bathhouse, you know, and inserted one and just like bent over, you know, the bench or whatever, and just guys lined up and went at it, you know, for like a couple of hours, that would theoretically work without too much issue.
I think so. Yeah, I would, as long as you're using the right kind of lube and using the right, you know, I don't know, checking it every now and then. But remember, it doesn't exactly have the reservoir tip that regular condoms do. It's just a big balloon, essentially, in your butt. You're going to end up with some leakage, and there's going to be some contact with semen there. So there could be some risk there. But it's better than being bare, that's for damn sure.
So you bring up an interesting point. I imagine, and I'm just saying this for the sake that we brought it up, the subject of a inside condom, let's call it that. No one would probably use one for rimming, I imagine.
No, because it's ineffective. When you're talking about a bottom condom or a regular condom, completely useless for rimming.
Yeah.
You need a dental dam, or if you want to be improvisational, you can take a condom, split it open, stretch it, and do your deal. Or even saran wrap. Anything's better than direct contact. Lesbians, a lot of lesbians, I understand, prefer saran wrap because it's thinner and you get more of the sensation traveling through. It's not as sturdy, you know, but...
Yeah. Huh.
But again, better than nothing.
True. I'm sorry, you talk about saran wrap and women, and I think of Tawanda, and that just... that kills it for me.
Sorry.
No, don't apologize. I was just like, no... Kathy Bates, wrapped in saran wrap, answering the door is just, you know, that's the end.
So,
yes, David.
Seem to like, I mean, with the exception of Hadrian, have we had any, I mean, other than clearly poop, have there been any other bad experiences or just things that you didn't, you're like, oh, no, thank you, no. With some getting on, either getting rimmed or being rimmed or whatnot.
Well, I'm assuming you have some sort of story behind this.
I do. But
oh, dear.
Yeah, I think that sometimes it deals with the entire look of the hole, you could say, because if there's a whole bunch of like polyps or warts or some icky, maybe perfectly fine stuff, it's just, you know, but if it doesn't look good, I'm not diving in there.
Yeah.
Even if there isn't any poop or anything, it's a perfectly natural thing, but it's bumpy.
Yeah. I wanted to go to the little one, and there's like these red spots everywhere, and I'm like, I'm not doing that. It's just, oh, I just shaved. I'm like, not without a doctor's note, you didn't.
I mean,
we're talking about, I mean, we're big guys. I mean, we're bears and everything. I mean, there's some big guys who just, you know, aren't washing themselves right or getting sweaty, and they get, you know, other stuff going on. I mean, sometimes our skin isn't the best.
Mm-hmm.
You get back there and you're like, you know, it's, you can see, especially if it's like a chub that's hairless, especially like this chubby hairless ass, because every imperfection is just
there.
They have like this big white pale ass, which I'm getting an erection now because I love big white pale asses. And they have like one little red spot. It is like a sunspot. It is just this big, teeny tiny. I'm like, I'm just going to eat way over here and not get near that cheek.
Get over here. He goes,
Is it good for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
So do you think of, I mean, besides disgusting stuff, do you think of really more of is more of a kind of a preparatory thing besides just feeling good? Like, one of the reasons why I rim is because I'm trying to loosen them up a little, so I want them to feel good so they loosen up a little.
Yes.
Definitely.
That's one of the reasons why I like to rim is, one, you kind of get a feel for their experience. I've had some very tight holes that literally you can't open with a crowbar, and I've had some very loose holes that it kind of looks like it's flapping kind of thing, but
yeah, this,
yeah, I'm not,
and sometimes it's like this,
yeah, I'm just saying, I've been
damn it. You're welcome. Damn you, Hadrian, and your visual props.
He always is prepared.
Yes, but the...
Had I known, I would have reached out to the Department of Health and asked them for the fake ass so I could one-up Hadrian.
But yeah, it's a preparatory... For me, it's also a preparatory venture. It's meant to... loosen them up, get them relaxed. Like I said, they usually will start feeling good, especially if they're bottom. I've had tops that it's actually a form of pleasure for them, that they really enjoy it. Just as, you know, and for some, it's a method of them getting off, as it were. So yeah, it's you know, people, if you like it and you enjoy it, it's a pleasurable experience, and it could be a preparatory one as well.
I agree. Once I get myself over the mental hurdles of issues, I thoroughly love it. I like go take a bath in cold water, and then when I feel that warm tongue touch my asshole, I'm ready to fuck. I'm 100% ready. It is a wonderful experience. I just have to get past the mental blockage.
Mm-hmm.
And I like doing the same thing to Bailey, because I don't mean to give all the secrets away, but he can be really tight. And if I can get him opened up with my tongue first, then the ride is a lot smoother. You know, yeah, it is a wonderful experience when it's done right.
Absolutely.
Very interesting.
So now I've got to be like, Gary,
I have this strange feeling. Gary's going to have a little bit of extra equipment that he's either going to purchase down in Tidal Wave or he's going to have.
I was going to say Gary is our token bottom, but that just sounds wrong.
Well, he is.
Oh, yeah, kind of. But
well, I'm technically the self-proclaimed, if we have to have labels, I think I'm the only 100% bottom.
Well, yeah.
Out of the hosts that we've had.
Yeah,
I think so. Yeah. If we're trying to classify everybody.
If we're trying to class everybody, do you prefer it, or do you? I mean, as a preparatory, this is prepping. Do you prefer it, or do you rather them do other things, or what?
Are you asking me?
Yes, I'm asking you because you're at the bottom.
I do enjoy it. I didn't necessarily think about it in terms of whether the timing, like if it has to be mandatory first or any of that kind of stuff. I think there could be a really good sequence, but there's a difference between, and I've said this many times over again, like anybody who ends up watching or listening to this, there's a difference between fucking and making love.
Mm-hmm.
And rimming to me, in a way, anal oral can be more intimate. So I think some people might relate that more to, you know, a different kind of commitment in your physical intimacy than, you know, just, you know, wham bam kind of, you know, 15 minute, 10 minute, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or 3 minutes in some people's cases. So that being said, I think that folks just need to make a decision about where and when and how, that kind of thing. I do want to say this, and I don't know if anybody else has experience with this. I personally really enjoy soaking in a hot tub, and I have found that a hot tub, I am supposedly by Zodiac, I'm a water sign, but that being said, I enjoy a hot tub because I find it very relaxing in many ways, and I think that that's an interesting, not intentional preparatory. I'm not saying that you use a hot tub as a douche. I'm saying that it allows you to relax, and the body overall is more relaxed, and that, you know, when you're not as tense, your mind is relaxed, all of that kind of stuff. And I think that that can lead easier to other things, rimming and then fucking, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So hot tub fucking is hot.
No.
Gary,
what?
I have one right here.
You're not helping anything, Hadrian.
This is Hadrian. Of course, he is helping.
I told you.
Just now, Louis.
Like I know what's going on.
Hot tubs are not my thing. I mean, after a little bit, but I think I would prefer hot tub as a part of foreplay. I'm okay with making out and you know, maybe a little oral, maybe a little play kind of thing going on in hot tub. But after a while, it gets kind of hot. And no.
You get out, you dry off, you go to the bedroom, have the ceiling fan turn on to high to keep everything cool. I'll tell you this. So during my practice session yesterday, or a research session yesterday.
Right, research.
I didn't come.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
And I think it was because I was too hot.
Mm-hmm.
Which disappointed me because this super, super sexy guy was begging me to come.
So
I unfortunately had to disappoint him because I was trying as hard as I could. But at one point, it's like, you're trying so much, you're just not going to, it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
I was a little disappointed. So, I can understand the whole, if you're too hot, it probably ruins things. So, that's why I try to keep you down further when it comes to somebody coming over.
Yeah, I think that's a personal taste kind of thing, because I know that some people do not do well with hot tubs. Just it's a body temperature thing. I think it just goes to show how everybody's body is different from person to person. I personally love being in a hot tub, although there's kind of a personal preference about temperature. So if the temperature is too high, then I don't want to feel like I'm being cooked, per se. But I also don't want to feel like I'm sitting like in a lukewarm bath. I want something in between that's enjoyable. But yeah, I've noticed that I could go for quite a while. In fact, some people have said to me, I have friends that have had them, and I've been sitting in it, and they're like, you should probably think about getting out. And I'm like, why? I'm perfectly fine. I'm like, yeah, you've been in there for like 30 minutes. And I'm like, and? And they're like, and that's not good for your health. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? It's been so good.
Yeah.
I like hot tubs as kind of an after sex. I mean, I've had sex and I have a hot tub, so I know what to use it for. But also a great after sex thing, because it's got the bromine in it, and it helps break down lube.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like a cleansing thing.
Yeah, and you get in there, you're like relaxed, and I like to turn it up kind of hot, especially after sex, and your balls get all hanging down, and all the skin gets soaked in real good, and you get kind of lobstery from all the heat. And that's I think sex is kind of a post sex thing. It kind of keeps the afterglow going a little bit.
I can see that.
But it is a great sex tool as well. But I can't get off in a hot tub, but I've certainly gotten a few off in a hot tub. So I like the straw of how long I can hold my breath.
Oh.
And it is a great environment to butt munch in, just to mention, for rimming, since we're talking about that. It is a great environment.
Yeah,
You get to clean. You get to clean and do everything all at once. And even if they've already bathed and all other stuff, it's just that extra. It helps me get my mental space right, where I'm like, "Hey, it's that extra step. They're in here with me. I can, you know, bend them over.
No matter what, they are clean.
Bromine kills everything. So
nice hot water, bromine.
Yep.
Yes.
And perfect, because it's hot water. It's like 104 degrees. My tongue feels cold on their ass. It's, you know, the temperature difference there. So I'll put my tongue on it, and they feel my tongue all that more. All that more.
Nice.
I can't English today.
It's okay. You're cute. Hey, so, I got a question, because you brought up about the bromine thing. I think we would be remiss if we did not talk about, since we're talking about rimming and anal, oral, about safety, not so much precaution, but in the way of, like, know what the potentials are in that way. And probably one of the reasons why I think some guys and or ladies are just absolutely not interested in it. I think people immediately think from the biological terms of what our digestive tract is like. And so some people immediately are like, it's a no-go zone. Like, I've actually had people say to me, I've actually had guys say to me and be like, no, it's exit only. Nothing happens back there, blah, 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 blah.
Nice.
And while I think that that's a valid statement, I think what we should maybe just briefly touch on is the fact that, yes, it is technically the evacuation of the body, and hence the cleaning, the reason behind that is because you don't want to necessarily have the gross, icky factor, but you want to avoid infection or other potential issues, because the entire body is, as science has been talking about a lot recently, there's a biodome. There's an entire other world of our physical nature that people kind of don't know about, but I think we're learning and being more perspective about it. Hence, probiotics, all that kind of stuff is becoming bigger in that case. So I think some people who don't know about that are at risk for getting some nastiness.
There's a greater variety of risk with anal, eating ass than there is sucking dick. I mean, with dick, you've got your typical HEPA, CIFLA, GONA, HEPA, viral stuff, you know, all the normal, you know, classifications of STDs we know about. And the only other thing you really have to do, there's this one particular STD that's unique to women in the vagina thing. And then there's yeast, and so there's those extra problems. But with the ass, there's this whole other, 22 feet of digestive tract in there that is this whole other flora and fauna of there's parasites, there's worms, there we go.
Oh my.
So this, I've had a few friends back in Atlanta, back when I used to go to the bathhouses all the time. There was guys that would say, "Oh, I got some weird parasite kind of thing, and my doc had to give me, you know, this thing to take, you know, for it." Because it was, he got worms. It was what it came down to.
Wow.
So, for those that aren't aware, Professor Hadrian came prepared today, like, posted a blast of information about the bacterial diseases, which include shigellosis, viral systemic diseases, including Hep A, B, and C, HPV, herpes simplex virus, parasites, including intestinal ones, chlamydia, conjunctivitis, gonorrhea, other sexually transmitted infections. So now that we've completely grossed everybody out and no one will ever eat ass, I think the reason I want to talk about it is I just don't want anyone who is uneducated or inexperienced to not know, like, everything in life. You should have some precaution.
Yes.
There are risks involved. You know. Yeah, because, like, leaving your door and crossing the street, there should be some precaution. We try to teach kids, look left and right before you cross. So,
yeah.
To me, it's no different than if you're going to be intimate with another person. Just be aware of the fact that there's some stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to be kind of exposed, so you should do some things. So I have a question for you, Hadrian, since you're such a fan of the Listerine breath strips. Is that a part of your post, if there's any rimming?
Yep, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'm like, we put one on top, you put two on the sides, you put the inside of the cheek, the roof of the mouth, under the tongue, and if you can reach your uvula and not throw up, go for it. it's not like that. No. I mean, I always keep Julie Roberts in mind from Pretty Woman, you know, being safety girl. You know, she has all the variety of condoms. Yeah, that stuff, Listerine. But you got to, I mean, just basic safety is all. I mean, what I've discovered in the thousands of men I've played around with over the years is that the very simplest of safety is all it really takes. Take a shower afterwards. Bathe before. A little bit of Listerine, rinse your mouth out, don't swallow, that kind of stuff. Just this really basic crap is all it takes to really keep safe. And a lot of people think, oh, if I can't get 100% safe, I'm just going to go all the way. I'm like, no, just take a moment and put the Listerine in, because actually it's okay to use Listerine during, you know, butt munching, because the cool, minty, fresh feeling is kind of nice back there.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Maybe this is an additional thing to talk about.
Absolutely.
What additional things would you use while rimming? Heck, let's say in Spanish instead of blowjobs, because I don't think we talked about it last time.
Well,
mints are good.
Mints are good. Not just focusing on the hole itself. I have some people who've gone down on me and thought they just need to, their tongue needs to touch my prostate for some reason. And I'm like, the whole entire ass is a sensitive area. Lick the taint. Lick the back of the balls. I love that. And there's all these cheeks and all this other stuff going on. Use your teeth. Bite on some stuff a little bit. There's a whole variety of ass there to eat on. Use the whole thing.
Anyway. Okay.
Well, I think the moment.
Okay. So let's take a moment here, because I think somebody had a little bit of a problem earlier when we were going to Wikipedia and looking at the definition of analogous, whatever the
analingus.
Analingus, thank you. And the word teeth came up.
Yes, because Wikipedia's article says...
It's like, wait a minute, no.
It says, to lick, and commonly though incorrectly spelled anal ingus, is an oral and anal sex act where one person stimulates the anus of another by using their mouth, including lips, tongue, or teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was drawing the line at teeth.
Yes.
Those are three different palates. That's clear. Your soft lips, your muscular tongue, and your hard teeth. Those are three things you can use to pleasure someone, you know, when you're back there. I mean, those are the three flavors you get.
And you gotta realize that, you know, when teeth are used, usually it's more for the fleshy part of your butt than the actual hole itself. I'm sorry, I can't actually munch on the actual hole. So, but you know, you get that little, you know, nibble on the butt. Perfectly fine.
Hmm.
I think straight men will probably commonly make that mistake with teeth directly on the hole, not realizing how fragile the rectum is, because a vagina is much more more resilient to those kind of sensations, especially from teeth of the labia and that sort of thing. So I've experienced, you know, a man who's used to eating pussy going down on me and being like, you know, trying to pull on something. I'm like, that's not how that works.
No.
Yeah, you shouldn't really be grabbing on and pulling on anything back there.
No. Yeah.
Well,
no.
So the teeth part are more either for texture purposes, so like the teeth is near it and rubbing against it or something, but you're not actually biting on it, or mostly the most part, it's more of, you know, you're going down in there and the fluffy ass. So.
I love his miming. Oh, yeah. God.
So... I'm also reading further down in the article, and there's some stuff about sex positions when performing analingus, when you're rimming. Of course, there's doggy position. One passive partner is on all fours with the other behind. Ooh, Hadrian's going to do demos. Yay!
Hold on. Wait a minute. There we go.
Best position ever.
Oh, I totally missed it.
Oh, I'm going to have to...
We'll have to rewatch it. Wait a minute, hold on. Let me go to the moment, Gary. Like behind and watch it.
Yeah, I like being on my back and being able to, you know, see the guy. I want to see the top of his head and everything. I don't know, that's just me though. I know some people like other stuff, but I also like being on my back because it gives me a little more control. I can squeeze things, my butt cheeks, and I can push my legs down if I need to if things are getting too intense.
Huh. I completely agree with you. And I just saw the replay on the YouTube page, and yes, that's exactly the position that I prefer. I don't think I could do that in this chair here. So
basically, for those that might happen to listen to this, Hadrian was giving us a great visual of the missionary with his legs raised. Only in this case, you didn't have your knees so much back towards your chest because apparently you're rather flexible and had your legs pretty well extended straight and were able to grab the bottoms of your feet. So notably, they do say that you could put the support of a pillow under the lower back or the buttocks so that way you kind of get a little lift in that case. Of course, there's the 69 position, which... That can happen, but it's really about, in my experience, because I'm a shorter statured person, about the height of the other person as well.
Yeah.
Because if you're not necessarily compatible on the length of your torso, that could be a little, not awkward, but challenging, I guess.
Yeah.
Huh. Belly also has to go into a factor, too, if they're yes. kind of thick. The 69 position can be okay,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes, depending on some of these factors, one person's not doing anything to the other, but they're like lying on top or lying underneath, and
yeah.
one person's getting the blowjob and or getting rim, basically sitting on the face.
Wow, yes. That's interesting. I'm looking this article.
Really, so, really tall person for a really short person with not much of a belly could easily be doing some rimming while getting a blowjob. So.
Yeah, so the one thing, before we go into the other positions they're listing, because there's only a couple there, my personal experience, I've really enjoyed being face down mm-hmm. on my belly nice. And have the person...
Face down, ass up. Mm-hmm.
And have the person behind me, well, because this is, I can't believe I'm about to say this on recording live forever. Mom, hope you're not watching. the thing is that if they're really good at what they're doing, I am probably going to try to act like I'm going to dig a hole or, like, tear the bed apart and try to, like, crawl, so to speak.
Nice.
In that position. That has happened before, and that was actually quite enjoyable and sort of surprising. Of course, the top in that case is probably enjoying it a lot because they're like, oh, you think you're going somewhere?
No, you're staying right here.
I had one guy who was hanging off the bed. Like, the butt portion of him was still on the bed, but the rest of him was hanging off, and he was, like, holding on to the bottom of my bed frame.
Huh.
So, wait, was he face down or face up?
Face down.
Oh, okay.
So he was looking at the floor of my bedroom, hanging off with his butt up on the bed.
Okay.
It was an interesting position. We didn't just do rimming at that position. it was interesting. I was afraid we were going to fall off. But we stayed on, and it was hot.
So that was you performing on him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And he was one of my bigger guys. So it was really impressive. He was extremely horny, too, so...
That's a good question. Is the way you like to perform ass eating different than the way you like getting eaten?
It really depends on the person, honestly. Because sometimes I like them, you know, my preference is it's like you, Hadrian, is on my back, legs up. Because of the same exact reasons, I think. Although, you know, my belly's not too bad. It's not that big of a deal. But when I give someone, I think I prefer them on their belly, just because I got mixed feelings.
Does
because
it size?
Because it probably does. Because I kind of like their ass up, and it's just right there. And I can dive down. I'm at the edge of the bed. Their knees are right at the edge of the bed. And just you know, go at it. But then there's this, some of the guys who I like working on, but I also like moving to the front as well. So kind of going back and forth and everything.
Hmm.
I like that as well. I usually like eating people on their back. I'll eat them flipped over too, but on their back, it requires a little bit of physical work because somebody has to hold the legs up at some point, unless they're in a sling or something. Mm. And you gotta, you know, do like this, and I want to be able to, because I mean, like I said, ass eating is not my go-to thing. I kind of want to move back up and suck some dick and then come back down. So I'll go from the tower downtown to the tower downtown.
I am a...
It totally makes sense. And
I am a preferred doggy style when I'm giving it. Because that's usually how I like to fuck. But if they're, you know, on their belly, ass up, you can kind of get the whole area, as it were, of the ass and the hole and everything. You can kind of see all the surface area and work all the surface area, as it were. The other on my back, it's okay, but I have issues. God, this sounds bad. I have knee issues sometimes, so having my knee up and holding it and everything, after a while my knee tries to give out and I can't hold my legs anymore, so I'm kind of like, I kind of need to stop. I appreciate it. Really, you're doing a really great job. Really, you are. But I need a moment. Sit my legs down and go from there. But, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I think stamina becomes a part of the issue as to whether you can hold a certain position. Mm-hmm. I also think in the question of what you prefer on you versus when you're, like, when you're receiving versus when you're giving, if I'm giving, I want easy all access. So the position that gives me the greatest ability to kind of get the focus, so to speak, and that's where I think it's interesting, like, we're talking, I'm like, a person like Hadrian was very well showing us in his demonstration. To me, that's not optimal only because, like, I'm thinking about the other person and how they can only hold that position for so long. And sometimes I think they kind of have to elevate, like they have to curve their spine a little more to get a better arc to kind of lift their ass up. So I don't know. I think it's just dependent on the individual. But I agree with, I'm glad you brought that up, Damon, about, like, you know, physical limitations, that there comes a mm-hmm. point where it's kind of like you get 3, 5, 7 minutes or however long it is, and then all of a sudden it's like, no, we got to be, you know, fluid. Yeah, and try to something else or switch the position or whatever.
I guess I've never thought about it before, but I'm suddenly now realizing that, you know, it's mentioning size and stamina and that sort of thing, that I've actually tended to eat ass on smaller pocket cubs a little more than bigger guys, now to think about it.
Huh.
You know, and
I've never realized it before, but I've definitely done that. Some ass eating, you know, what is it, equal opportunity is missing there. And I just little guys, you can lift them up, you can throw them around, you can flip them over, you can hold them up, you can do all kinds of fun stuff with little pocket cubs, and I've definitely eaten ass on them more.
Well, and then I think it's also because of ass depthness too.
Yeah.
Because if they've got if they're big chunk, great crevice. I think we were talking about crevices at one point in time at some point. But they got a deep crevice, so it's sometimes harder to get down in there.
Mm-hmm.
To get to them. So I agree. I actually enjoy those pocket cubs or even non-pocket cubs, but not as thick guys.
Yeah, or a muscular ass.
Right. And where it's not as much of a crevice, and you can really get down there and really go to town.
Uh-huh.
So those are probably one of our more preferences, just because it's easier.
Bumblebutt can get away.
But not to say I haven't done the big butts. I like big butts, and I cannot laugh.
Cannot
continuing on with the positions, they talk about where a person is sitting on another person's face. That one, while somewhat erotic, also unnerves me personally, only because I don't have a fear of this, but it does become discomforting that another person's whole body weight potentially could be, for lack of a better reference, suffocating. If their leg strength goes out or what arm strength, whatever it is that they're using, mm-hmm. In that case. So this leads me to a discussion of using furniture. And Damon might know where I'm going with this. A very good mutual friend of ours has done comedy and has actually told a joke, or actually a rather good joke, about when you're in a hotel that a luggage rack makes an excellent rim chair. If people are not aware, apparently the metal luggage racks are better than the wooden ones for weight distribution and how much the capacity they can hold. I'm not going to say that you should, you know, put a 500-pound man on one, but apparently bigger boys do decently well in that. So I find that interesting that there's a not just impromptu furniture, per se, that you can modify, you know, like when you're in a hotel, per se. Although now that I've said this, everybody that ever travels and goes to a hotel is probably never going to look at a luggage rack the same way again.
here's the thing. Here's why I don't like room seats. Mm-hmm. I think they are convenient. They're nice. They can be useful. I haven't used one personally, so I really can't say for absolute certain. But from the concept and from what I've seen, it's great. My problem is I have to lift up my head to get to the butt. It's not like it's the butt's just right there. And I have to go upwards instead of like going down onto someone's ass who is currently, you know, kneeling doggy style in front of me. So I don't think that would be comfortable, except for anybody who has stamina enough to push their head up into the ass. In other words, I'd rather the ass come to me than the me go to the ass, I suppose.
You can always use a pillow.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is, in bringing
or two
up
two or three,
I mean, or seven. That's what I was going to say to the idea of using a rim chair, or in this case, an impromptu rim chair out of a luggage rack, is that yes, there will definitely be a distance between the floor, presumably where you're laying, and the person above you. And so be aware of that. You don't want to give yourself a bad neck strain and that kind of stuff. So you might have to get creative a little bit about how you put yourself in a position. To me, I think when you go to use that, you're kind of being serious about the ass play and the rimming.
Yeah.
And not so much that it's, you know, all that you're going to do, but I'm thinking that's probably a little bit of a discussion, perhaps, between you and the other person, you know, that they reveal or you reveal, like, hey, I'm really into this. And if you're game, like, we could go at this for a little bit of time.
And the link you gave us, Jeff, has a rim seat with handles. Rim seat with handles. But I don't think those handles are just for maybe the person being rimmed. They might be able to be used for to kind of hold on and kind of lift up like a like a pull up.
Just gonna say you get a little workout in that.
Can we talk about this link for a second? There is a rocking chair, rim chair.
rim rocker with collapsible legs.
First place I went was Grandpa.
Oh.
It's my boy!
Oh, God.
Awesome. Adrian.
Sorry. And I'll go ahead and say my obvious thing I don't like about rim chairs, most rim chairs, is that they're made with a toilet seat.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I've seen other ones.
I know that's not. I know they're sold as a rim chair, but my mind goes right to the bad place.
Yeah,
it's also a scat chair. Okay, we get it. Ugh. But I mean, ugh, seriously, how? Okay, design me a better rim chair.
I've seen rim chairs that are actually like seats that you can sit on.
Yeah, like the old classroom seats, the plastic scoop. With a little hole down out of them. I've been asking those at a bathhouse once.
I have not seen those.
Yeah.
Huh.
I think that was all the rim. I think it was manufactured. I think someone got some surplus and customized some.
Well, and you gotta admit that if you're looking for a seat with a hole that
that
allows good access, that the toilet seat is just the right shape. It's already right, there. Absolutely. That's where it came from. So yes, it looks like a toilet seat, but for God's sakes, you're putting your mouth on somebody's ass who's sitting down. What else are you going to do?
Well, that being said, I'm actually more intrigued by the dual rim seat that they offer on this website, where
it's a true love seat.
Where you have the side by side, right? It's like essentially an opposite facing love seat, where one person is facing one direction and then the other person is facing the other direction, but they're side by side. So it's kind of like, Madge, you're soaking in it. I mean, like,
right? Imagine sitting there reading like, you know, Go magazine, like, hey, did you see, you know, something like that.
I know, it cracks me up. It's like they're getting their hair and their nails done, and they're just getting their ass eaten at the same time. I'm like,
well, and, you know, for a nice group action where you've got like four guys, you got two guys on the seats, two guys underneath, and they're all right next to each other, and the other guys could be jacking the other guys off or kissing or something like that, and. You know, having that opposite direction makes it a little bit easier for some things instead of just being directly side by side.
It has its purpose.
I will point out that I'd like the, just to go back to the toilet seat thing, I like how they have the open front toilet seat, so all the goodies, the front goodies are hanging down too, which is super hot, because if I'm going to eat someone's ass, I want access to the twig and berries too.
Right. Well, it's definitely appropriate.
That brings up the other position that they mention. For those that are not aware of, there is such a thing called a rusty trombone. Which happens to be where it explains that a male stands while the active partner performs both analingus from behind in a kneeling position, and then also masturbates the other person who's receiving. Yep. So,
well, and I think that's part of the, you know, you want to do the twig and berries, right?
Yeah. As
well. So
that's almost exactly what I do if I'm meeting someone and they're bent over on their knees. I'm, you know, doing
I mean, honestly, couldn't you? How do you not do that? I mean, if they're on their knees or on their back, somehow my hand gets over to their cock. Because, you know, I may need one hand to help keep the ass open or something, but, you know, I got this other free hand. It's not doing anything. Mainly because I want them to come. I don't know. It's something.
Nice. So speaking of which, does anybody have a preference or is okay with that you're ribbing someone that gets them off? Meaning, that's the thing that gets them to orgasm, and then they end up ejaculating, and maybe it's like on your chest or somewhere else or whatever. Is that a preference, or you're kind of neutral?
If they have expressed it as a method of getting them off, I'm fine with doing it. But they kind of have to say that. You know, they can't just be like, we're doing this and we're doing that and we're trying to do this and we're going there and doing this, and they're like, oh, well, why don't you rim me? I'm like, well, we've kind of been doing this for like a while. Are you sure that's going to work? You know, like I don't want to do something and it you know, oh, that's going to get me off. I'm like, no, because clearly nothing has, because you're just delayed.
Well, just, no, hold on. I disagree with that. Because one thing is, I cannot get off from a strict blowjob. Just pure blowjob.
You still need to test that.
Me a blowjob. I know. So get your ass over to Austin. Come on. Anyways. So, I will admit it's, I have on occasion come from a blowjob.
Mm-hmm.
Amazingly enough, something was just right working at right. that point in time. But most of the time, it's just practically impossible. I need to jack myself off and also be stimulated below my penis. So, cock, taint, ass. Mm-hmm. I've had plenty of people being like, you know, nibbling away at my taint, licking on my balls, and actually have a little bit of a fingering my ass, just right at the... Yeah, take off that way. That's what gets me off. But not just the blowjob. So I think that rimming can get me off. Is actually a thing that gets me off. I just... I have to be jacking off at the same time, but yes.
Yeah.
So that's a situation where that happens.
Well, I mean, I guess I'm just more along the lines of if you've expressed it as an interest and it works, then fine. But if you're just kind of seeing if it'll work, then I don't know, but we'll see. I'm all about giving the other person pleasure, so I kind of fall in both camps. Like, I'm fine with doing it if it's going to provide you with the pleasure that you need, but not if it's to my detriment. I guess is I don't know if detriment.
Why would it be to your detriment?
Well, just it. Let's not get into that's another story. That's a long ass story, so I'm not going to get into that right now.
Okay, so let's go someplace we weren't expecting. What about felching?
Oh my god!
I'm just going to say I've never tried it. That's all I'm going to really say about it. I've never seen it. I've never tried it. I've had people talk about it. It's one of my voyeuristically things that I think is hot. But
so let's define it for a brief moment to discuss it, because some listeners or observers might be like, what the hell are they talking about? Felching technically is to use one's mouth or tongue on usually the anus of another individual, or in the case of a woman with a vagina, to orally remove or suck out the semen that has already been deposited.
It's like ass snowballing.
No.
Reverse snowballing.
The really term in the porn industry you'll see on the box is cream pie eating.
Ah. Ugh. So. No. No. All right,
I'm going to say this. The porn industry cannot... No. No. No, no. They cannot redefine one of the best things that is a true technical oral pleasure, because if someone can make a real cream pie from scratch, that shit is dope. And I'm sorry, I don't think felching matches. Like, no, I'm sorry. Sucking a load out of somebody's ass is not equivalent to like one of the like something that someone's grandma's made in the kitchen. No. Hadrian, we need a campaign. Let's go to the government.org and get 50,000 or 100,000 signature, because that shit not right.
Sorry, it comes from the straight side of the industry when guys would come in a girl and they would always say it's a cream pie.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Right. Where's the boo? I want the boo sound effect. I don't like that.
And then it kind of filtered over to the gay side of the industry, because felching is such a quote-unquote dirty term that they needed something friendlier.
So cream pie
is
friendlier.
Okay. I'm thinking reverse snowballing. Reverse anal snowballing sounds better than felching. My goodness.
I don't understand.
You roll off the tongue, doesn't it?
No.
Ah! Roll off the tongue. Ah!
Oh, speaking of big tongues.
Grim shot.
I just, no. But I will go ahead and say, felching, no. No. No, thank you, no. No.
Yeah, I will say this. I'm kind of in agreement with Hadrian. For me, it's a no. I have not done it. I have not had it done to me. I also, it makes me uncomfortable because it, to me, it's a heightened level of risk.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and it's not sexy to have, like, have the condom stay in the ass while you're trying to felch the condom.
Oh.
It doesn't work that way. So
just to kind of go back to something Gary said, who said I hadn't done it?
Oh.
No one said that.
Am I one of all of us that has actually done this?
I have never felt.
I have not.
I have. I have both felched and been felched. And this, again, this is, like, super rare. This is not something I've ever done. I can probably count 3 times I've done it, maybe. Maybe 4 or 5. No, 6. But it's not that common for me. I mean, out of the 1,000 guys I've had sex with, I've probably eaten ass with 50 of them. And this thing right here is even a smaller, you know, a bit smaller number than that. So, yeah, I've done it with my partner, with Bailey. I've done it with Bailey. I've done it with, I was going to give his secrets away too. I've done it with Venice Cub. And I did it with an ex or two. You know, but it was something where I knew that they had cleaned to the point where it was like the inside of a silk purse. And, you know, I consciously came, you know, when I ejaculated, I came shallow. Like I would squirt, but I would squirt, you know, just right inside the hole kind of thing. So I didn't have to go digging. You know, I was just right there. And I've done it a couple of times. And it was heat of the moment. It was not something I just consciously thought, okay, I'm going to do this today. It was like, this is just fucking hot. I'm doing this. You know, it was kind of that kind of thing. And it was super hot. It was usually something I did to the enhancement of the bottom so that they could you know, experience something that they weren't expecting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, got them off even harder afterwards.
I'm not a fan of it. But I can say I'm going back through my sexual mental memory, and I have done it before. I've not had it done on me, but I have done it before.
I'm like, no,
yeah, it's not hot. Hot.
What?
Hot or not?
Hot or not? I can see for the bottom it being hot, but for me it wasn't. Kind of.
I've never done it. I haven't had it done to me or anything like that. But I think it's one of those things where it's a heat of the moment thing. Like how you had it before, Adrian. It just kind of, that's what the point is. Like, I'm going to come and I'm just going to, oh, pull back. Just have to come a little. Yeah.
Really?
You know, really? It's just something. You just
did you just slurp? Did you just slurp?
Oh, that was amazing.
Yes, he did.
He tried to get the cum out.
He totally decided to channel his, like, you know, love of 7-Eleven Slurpees.
Inner core.
Yeah, just taking it to a whole new level on the audio of the podcast.
Wow.
The audio of the podcast, considering this is a video show. But, you know, and I also had the nice mining.
Well, to be fair, I have never thought about this before, but I imagine listening to porn at certain points can be fucking hysterical if you're just listening and not actually seeing what's happening on the screen. And try to figure out what the noise is that you're hearing.
I can put something on my TV. We won't be able to see it, but we'll be able to hear it, and we can see what happens.
No.
Maybe.
I can get my porn on the TV. Just hold on. Let me open it on my Apple TV.
I don't think it's necessary for this podcast, but it brings up an interesting thing. Actually, what I think would be better is instead of name that tune, name that porn. And all you do is listen to the audio.
Wow.
I'm sure it's possible. If it's the Bear Films one, I might know it.
Can you name that background music? Can you name that ass slap? Can you name that grunt?
Name that actor. Our porn star.
Name that porn star. Let's see. It's Jeff. Jeff picked out the clip. Oh, it's Venice Cub!
Which, Who's the one gay male porn star? Is it Steve Hurley? Is he the one that has the notable?
Yeah,
suck that cock. Like,
what? Suck that cock.
Speaking of which, total sidebar. When I worked at a gay campground and resort that was called the Optional, they had a play space, and there was a guy once that was in there, and that was his script. It was the only thing he knew how to say. And so it's this. It was an old converted barn. So it's dark in there, and all you could hear in the darkness is this repetitious, yeah, suck that cock. Like one other thing. And, like, that's all he said. And, like, every 20 seconds he would just say it over and over and over again. It was so annoying.
I would just be like,
we don't need to talk to do this.
Yeah.
See, okay, so no, I'm going to save this for a different LTAS episode. I think we need to do an episode about sounds.
Oh.
Like, not...
Not sounding.
Two episodes. One about sounds, and one about sounds, like growls and stuff.
Vocals.
Right. Vocals versus sounding.
Yeah.
So two separate episodes, one for sounding. I wonder if I could get my cousin on. He's sounded before. Anyways.
Wow.
So. Now, wait a second. I'm not letting that go. How do you know that your cousin has sounded?
Because he sent me a couple pictures.
He has discussed this before.
You do know I've got a he is a kissing cousin. So
yeah.
Oh my.
More than just kissing, actually.
But, well, and yeah. You're not from, like, West Virginia or
Hey, we're both gay. We're both bear-ish, and it just kind of worked. So
I'm coming to Austin.
Yeah, I'll try to. Hopefully, I'll be badged at Apple so that I can actually get a day off.
So, Hadrian, hey, like, Bailey, honey, I'm going for a little weekend vacay to Austin. I just need to witness some things.
Yeah, try some things. Well, here's the thing: is my cousin right now is up in Minnesota, so you would also have to get him down here as well.
Okay. Right, right. The presumption is that Austin is the destination.
Okay. So, yeah, and he apparently makes great beer too.
Awesome.
Beer and sounding.
I love my cousin.
Speaking of which, does anybody have opinions about using things with rimming, analingus, in the form of props, toys, food, any of that stuff? Any thoughts?
Other than the occasional finger-ish kind of thing, to kind of, and I'm talking, like, I know there's, like, Hadrian was like, once you put, like, a finger in, he's kind of, like, done. You don't want to do that. I'm talking more along the lines of, like, holding ass and you know, I can use your fingers and kind of titillate the area a little bit, but, which people tend to like.
Well,
other than that, not so much. I mean, well, maybe a massager kind of thing, but I don't really have one of those, so.
And I suppose it's more because I don't really have that much when it comes to toys, but, you know, sometimes it's, as part of prep, I mean, you could just use toys to, you know, if you're thinking of it more along the lines of you're prepping this as. So you're going to stick something in there, and maybe you're sticking a butt plug or a dildo going in there as well. Well, to enhance that and in between. Or that's just the next step. You start off by licking them, then you start using something to help spread them open. The other day it was really tight, so I just kind of was one finger, two finger, three finger. Good.
Wow.
Something else.
I don't know if I've necessarily seen it in adult film. I know it's more predominantly in when women are receiving cunnilingus, but what about food?
I am not a fan of food and sex.
I think just haven't tried it. You know, I think the only thing that you would be thinking of would be like some whipped cream or something. I mean, in the crappy whipped cream, because, you know, Cool Whip, which I absolutely love and adore, I don't think I want to spoon that on his... get the spray bottle. Spray cheese would just be weird. So it just has to be the light and fluffy bottled spray whipped cream. It's got to be something that you can easily just go...
I've done the food thing a few times. I've done Cool Whip, whipped cream, sweet stuff only, honey, jam, peanut butter, icing, cake icing. And actually, we did cake icing in a film once. Billy's birthday bash. We started off with Billy, and we bent him over the table, and we like had the cake there, and we did two takes of that scene. The first time we did the scene, we used chocolate. Chocolate cake with chocolate icing. As we got about 30 seconds into this scene where there's cake, all this chocolate icing on Billy's asshole, we're like, yeah, we need to redo this scene with the vanilla cake. And we did. But it was awesome. I mean, I'll be honest. Actually, food involved actually helps me get over my mental issues with eating ass. It enhances everything. It's sweet. It's wonderful. I'm a sugarholic, so that it gets all the right points for me going.
Mm.
So, all right, hold up. I am confused now.
Okay.
Because Hadrian admits that he's not necessarily into analingus and rimming, but you just said that using food gets you beyond that. So are you saying that the food, like that part of your neurological system overrides the fear issue, like, or the other stuff, because there's food involved?
My issue is that I will know they are clean. They've gone and taken a shower, and yet I don't trust it.
Okay.
If I go down there, and if I smell sweat or body odor and that sort of thing, okay. But if there's any odor I cannot clearly identify immediately, I'm suddenly like, okay, we're done eating. Let's move on to something else. So I'm just, it's you know, that's, when I said sniff test earlier, I'm very, very much into smelling and odors and that sort of thing. And the finger thing works, but again, penetration is not an option for me. So if I go down there, then I need something else to help me stay focused. That this he's clean, he's good to go.
So go down there.
Like wet lube, the that sweet weird taste to it. Perfect, works great for me.
Huh.
Billy Bear's birthday bash is currently $35.95 on biggercity.com. or streaming on bulk mail.
It was produced by Spunkhound, and it's currently being distributed by Maximum Density.
Well, somebody's on top of their
speaking of Maximum Density, I do want to get Carolina Cruzy.
Okay.
Which is currently $44.95 on
BBC. And there's quite a bit of butt munching in that, too. Me and Dirk Grizzly, if you're into them.
Oh.
Dirk Grizzly.
Okay. Anyway.
Wait a minute, Dirk, we're talking about Carolina Cruising?
Yeah. He's in that, I believe.
No, you're thinking...
Are you sure? No.
You're thinking Southern Comfort.
No, there's...
Oh, yeah, you are right. Wait, can we stop? Y'all do not need to know this much about my career.
I think that's fucking hysterical that they're one-upping you on, like, the shit you've done on film. I'm like, damn.
Wow. Here's the thing is, I was looking at the Carolina Cruising one, and I'm like, Dirk Grizzly isn't in here anywhere. I'm not seeing him in any of these pictures. And of course, I click over to Southern Comfort, and there he is.
Fantastic.
Adrian, I will say this. While I find you absolutely adorable and sexy as all shit, I have not stalked you online via your porn career.
Hey.
I have stuck to the more traditional Tumblr method of thing.
The voluntary way, the honeypot for all the stalkers.
I am not stalking him. I just happen to know the videos he's been in.
Oh, for God's sakes. We already know that you have every single Bear film scrolled.
Yeah. Right over there.
Nice. So, at least when Hadrian and I meet in person, it won't be as creepy, because I won't be asking him the crazy questions like, so when you were making this film back in, like, 97, and you did this one, remember... Yeah. I'm going to be more like standing in the corner, like just being weird and like, you know, shy and quiet and not being able to say anything.
First of all, in 97, I would have been underage. So that's a different classification of video. But
how old are you?
I'm 35. I just turned 35 a few weeks ago.
Okay, so you're only a couple of years older than I am.
Oh, shit. 97. I was older than you.
You'd be of age in 97.
No, 97. I would have been 17.
Yeah. In 90s, then you were born in 1998.
No, he was born in.
He was born in 89
or. He was born in 79.
We are so far off subject.
In any case, I'm 33 years old. I was born in 1980, so I should be able to do my math correctly. Although I didn't.
Anywho.
Okay, I was 17, 18. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah,
so you're of age.
Anywho.
I didn't realize that you're that age. Interesting.
Yeah. I'm starting to tread into daddy territory.
I know. I was mentioning that the other day. Somebody said something about this daddy needs a house cub, and I'm like, this becoming a daddy. Because if you can't really tell, but yeah, I'm starting to gray.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, just a little bit. Just a little bit. So I'm not saying I'm daddy yet. I'm still the pup that I am.
Oh. Well, and I think part of it is mentality.
Oh, actually, I'm the cub that I am, because...
Woohoo!
This doesn't
need to be a bother. Uh-huh. So, Gary, you were saying?
Well, I was just saying that in terms of the mentality, I think, you know, is a piece of it, whether you see yourself as a daddy or a cub or a bear or any of those things. But, yeah, I don't remember what I was saying. I was too busy talking about, like, probably being sheepishly embarrassed when I meet Hadrian and June in person. So, yeah.
No. Yeah, and then you'll be embarrassed for a little while, then he'll take you back home.
You make him sound like a creepy old man, like in a van with candy, only this time it's hungry and saying, you know, I have a hot tub.
Well then.
And I'll be like, and then I'll be like, I've had sex in adult bookstores. He'll be like, go on.
Okay, so to slide back to our subject, our topic.
No pun intended.
You mentioned felching, which is the after sex is done going down on someone. I'm curious about the other end of it because it's something that a lot of people are really turned on by because I think it's some submission or domination or even a humiliation thing for some folks, and I know a lot of guys that are really into it. Is the act of ass to mouth? That's where you pull your dick out of someone's ass and put it in their mouth.
Huh.
I think mostly my problem, because usually we're in that type of situation. The ass is really clean. We've already figured that part out. The only thing is lube, and I don't know about you, but I don't want lube in my mouth.
I go both ways with it. It's not really bad. Like I'm if the guy is clean and if they are okay with it, I am fine with ass to mouth. But only if they are okay with it. Because it's usually their ass and their mouth. On the other hand, if they have not prepared, they've not as well clean, I do not want them getting that in there. Because that, you know, that just adds to a whole other, you know, potential issues and risk and whatnot for them.
That's a fetish you didn't sign up for.
No. I don't think that scat will be one of our topics.
It will not be a topic. It will not be a topic. No. But no, it's just one of those things where I could see it happening in the heat of the moment. Like, if it just kind of, you know, kind of goes and there it goes, then I'm okay, well, then you know, but you know the risk that is involved in doing that. We both know the risk that's involved in doing that. And, you know, but if they want to, they can. If not, I'm totally fine with it. But, yeah, definitely understand the risk there.
Yeah, I think of it this way. I kind of understand where Hadrian's question comes from, what Damon is saying. My perspective is, I don't know how I feel about it personally. I guess I've never really thought about it, and probably because it hasn't come up very often for me. I don't want to say never, but my thought is it kind of goes to like how some guys. More often than not, I think those that see themselves as straight or heterosexual, if they have, if there's like a blowjob and then about kissing afterwards, it's not so much about snowballing, but there's a thing about the headspace versus the rest of the body space.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that to take it more to what Hadrian's question was about is I think some guys, that's a no for them. Like, once they've had dick in the ass, that's it. Like, it doesn't come back up towards the head at all. Yeah. Like, not a facial, not, like, in my mouth, not any of that kind of stuff.
Your ass went fucking you, and then try to pull out and, like, try to shoot in your mouth kind of thing.
Right, but some people are the exact opposite. So I don't know. I think it's kind of all over the place as to whether someone wants that, per se.
Yeah.
But I thought it was interesting you kind of made reference to the dominance factor, the power control play about the person doing that.
I can see that being a like you said, a dom sub humiliation kind of thing. I could see it being that. Yeah.
I definitely do too. I would hope that conversation was had ahead of time and not like that the whole thing is pre-directed, but that's an understandable possible outcome. I think where that could be, I don't know what word I want to use. The only thing that comes to mind is dangerous, only in the perspective that wasn't discussed beforehand, is you don't know how that person is going to feel about that.
Yeah. Rejection mid-climax, like, whoa, what are you doing kind of thing, is a definite nut killer.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, so I think you kind of have to know the person that you're with and if they're into that or whatever. And it doesn't have to be pre-discussed. You could do it in the moment of. You know, I realize for some people it's a little awkward to have talk during sex, so to speak, you know, but if that's what you think you're interested in or you want to do or whatever, have that communication, because it's the only way you're going to know. I agree with Hadrian. The worst thing is for the person to be like, what are you doing? Like, as opposed to, you know, you want my load or whatever, you know.
To throw the other caveat in this, what about with a condom? If someone fucks you with a condom and they pull out, rip the condom off and want to shove it in your mouth, how do you feel about that? Is that uniquely different? Is that
probably maybe more like the whole issue with lube too. There's still the taste of the lube potentially, but once again, it's up to the. It's up to the bottom or whoever's getting fucked. If I'm rimming them and they want to kiss me, okay. You know, we'll go from there. I'm usually okay with it, but you know, if I'm fucking them, condom or no, and they want to lick the penis or suck the penis and take the cum off, then okay, then it's up to you. I can go either way. It sounds really bad, but yeah.
Yeah, basically, you're not forcing them to do anything they don't want to do. So if they don't want to, it's not going to happen.
I've had people want to go down on me after I've fucked over something like that, and I immediately make mental note. I'm like, okay, now the mouth is off limits, and they want to come up and kiss me. I'm like, no. Let's just be friends, kind of thing. And so I'm like, okay, let's go get some mouthwash. Okay, now we can make out, that sort of thing. I hate to be so weird about it, but
yeah.
I feel like I have to be the devil's advocate here.
No. Well, right, and I think Hadrian brings up a good point about being precautionary. I guess my immediate thought when Hadrian asked the question was, my gut reaction is no, but that's only because I don't like the taste of latex.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And that's just an issue for me. Like, I thought it was interesting that the comment was kind of made about a lubricant. Yeah, like, I don't know what it is. I'm not, like, allergic to latex, but I don't care for it. Like, yeah. Smell of it, like, in food preparation, when you put on gloves, that kind of thing. Like, there's just something about it. I think it's because, psychologically, for me, it's medicinal.
Mm-hmm.
It just kind of has this off thing about it, you know, and so when it comes to that, if... Yeah, the guy, like, you know, shoots his load in a condom and then, like, wants me, you know, to suck his dick afterwards. While that's hot, if I can smell and or taste the latex of the condom or whatever, like, that could really be a turnoff for me. So I'm kind of mixed, I guess. It depends on the situation. Now, if we were in a shower or happened to get into a hot tub or something afterwards, that might change the chemical, you know, makeup, yeah. So to speak.
Like I said before, the littlest amount of preparation and prevention goes a long way, and just doing something in a shower is perfect because you just get the instant rinse off.
Yeah.
Now, I know, speaking of the latex and having and even lube and that sort of thing, when I was younger and I started playing around with guys, the only condoms I have were the condoms I used with girls, which had spermicide in them. And I found out really quickly that spermicide makes your mouth go numb. So,
God,
I like had a problem when I didn't know any better, and I was at a glory hole, and I put a condom on a guy, and I started sucking him. I'm like, ugh, I can't taste anything. So,
interesting. Oh, well, as we're wrapping up here, it's interesting because that kind of sounds like a form of punishment, and I could not let this little factoid go that apparently in past human history, analingus was used as a form of punishment, which is cracking me up to no end. And I'm reading it. It says, forced and mostly public analingus was used from time immemorial as a form of humiliation and punishment, usually of prisoners. The use of the practice in the 30 Years' War was described in a book back in 1668, and the practice is commonly referred to as arse-licking. And the term is still at times applied to the behavior of someone who is too pleasant and helpful to someone in authority.
Huh.
So, which probably relates to ass kissing.
Yeah. That's genius.
But,
so punishment, like, how were they punished? Like, did they...
I don't know. I'm so confused.
Did they do the licking or...
Cleaning?
It doesn't say.
Oh, my God. I don't even want to know, because we know how dirty people were back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just saying. No.
Yeah, considering their lack of medical knowledge about it, it was probably just considered dirty, not necessarily, you know, completely unhealthy and a medical risk.
Yeah. And then there's probably also now, they probably didn't realize how good it can feel.
You have a nice clean one. Someone going down on it.
Well, I would say this. Humans have been perverts for centuries.
True.
Not since the beginning. So I'm sure...
Even during the proper times.
Yeah, I'm sure that there was definitely some, oh, well, I like that.
I mean, just look at Shakespeare. You know, all the innuendos that Shakespeare had in his plays. I tell you.
Yeah. Interesting. So, food for thought, kids. At one time in history, rimming was considered a form of punishment, so you might want to learn to punish somebody.
I want more of that punishment.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Is it really disciplinary if you like having it done? That's a whole other topic.
Well, kids, that's another show.
Woo-hoo.
So that's the end of the show. Thank you, Hadrian, for joining us here today.
Yay. Such a good time to be here with you all.
Despite it not being one of your favorite activities for your many adventures, join us. So there's plenty of ways to contact us. Please pop over to bearunderground.net and join the Bear Underground group. Also pop over to Google Plus at google.com/pluscubsoutloud and follow our Google Plus page there. That's where you can see the links to these live shows. So if you think, oh, I'm missing all these live shows, all of a sudden they just show up on YouTube. What's going on? Well, follow us on Google Plus. And you know what? I give you a warning.
I give you warning. We go to the Google Plus page. We put a note saying, hey, tomorrow at such and such a time, we're going to be having with Hadrian. And you missed it? What's wrong with you? Okay, so you can at least watch it later on. But anyways, we also post this to our Facebook page, facebook.com/cubsoutloud. And, of course, after the show, you'll see be able to get the audio podcast, and we'll embed this video as well on our website, cubsoutloud.com. You can find me anywhere on the internet at boxpuppybox, cub, box, something or other.
I am TheaterCub79 on Bear411, Bear Underground, and Tumblr.
That would make me GareBear73, pretty much anywhere I want to be found under that nickname.
And I'm Hadrian M at HadrianM.com, and Facebook and Tumblr and anywhere else you want to find me, pretty much.
Well, HadrianM.com is Tumblr, isn't it?
That is very true. But there are links. If you go into the About section, I have links to all my other stuff. So my PlayStation Network stuff. So you can find me everywhere.
Sweet.
Nice.
So with that, say goodnight, everybody!
Goodnight!
Bye. Goodbye.